We have a big day today. It's going to be exciting. Like Michael mentioned, Wednesday, our president gave a State of the Union. We're going to give a State of the Church. We do it every year in January, and it is a blessing to think about where God has brought us. Our end game is to go where we headed. That's what we want to accomplish. We want to leave this place going, man, God is good, and this is where we're going as a church. So it's going to be a special morning, as you'll see. So Proverbs 29:18, I'll start with this. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish or are unrestrained. Without having a vision, which is really a spiritual compass biblically, vision tells us where we're going to go, where we've been, where we're at, where we're going. It gives us bearings. But without a vision, we're just unrestrained. We do things and accomplish things that maybe we get to the end of our life and go, man, I'm not sure if that was really worth it. I spent my life doing that. Biblical vision really pretty much guarantees that we'll get where we need to go. God has a plan for us, doesn't he? He has a plan for the church. He has a plan for our church. And even businesses, you know, they have business plans and vision plans and mission plans. I love what Andy Stanley says. He says, vision is painting a picture of a preferable future. That's one of my favorite definitions of a vision. And we have a vision as a church. Jonathan Swift said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. I like that as well. And finally, Willie Stone said, vision without a task is only a dream. A task without a vision is but a drudgery. But vision with a task is a dream fulfilled. And I want to tell you, I've been living the dream. I quite honestly have for the last 30 years of living what I believe is God's plan, God's will for my life. And being a part of this church is definitely living the dream. And I trust that as you follow God's plan for your life and be involved with God's plan, you too will have your dream fulfilled. You'll look back at the end of your life and go, man, this was good. So that's what days like this do for me. Make me remember our vision. So Coke has a vision statement. Partly it says that they exist on this planet to refresh the world. That's their vision statement. And they're doing it, aren't they? This is a picture of me. I think I'm in Jordan or Bethlehem, one of the two, over in Israel in the Middle East, drinking a can of Diet Coke. And you see all these different, I mean, they have reached the world. 92% of the people polled, 92% of the people on this planet have heard of Coca-Cola. They've almost reached the whole population of the planet. Some 72% have tasted this product. That's pretty good marketing. That's pretty good marketing. They have a vision, and we have a vision for our church. And some of you know what it is. The first couple of words are one life, and I wonder if you could repeat it for me. What is our vision statement as a church here at The Rock? One life. Ready? One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. Let's say that all together here. Ready? One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. That truly is what God's put on our heart here as a church. To reach out one life at a time, to love those people around you, and eventually reach them for Christ. And as we do that, and we do that with other churches that are reaching out, we'll eventually reach the world. And we believe that. We're on world conquest. We truly are. And we have a mission statement as well. But let me talk about vision real quick. Walt Disney, he had a vision, didn't he? He was a visionary, wouldn't you say? He got fired from his first job for not having creative ideas. Did you know that? Walt Disney got fired. He didn't have creative ideas. He actually died right before Walt Disney World in Orlando was opened. Before the doors opened, he died. Of course, he had seen Walt Disney, he'd seen Disneyland in Anaheim open, but he didn't get to see Walt Disney World. Just right before it opened, he died. And his staff was lamenting this fact that he didn't get to see, he didn't get to participate in the grand opening of Disney World. And his creative director, Mike Vance, very wisely, when somebody said, it's so sad that Walt didn't see Disney World open, this is what his creative director said. He said, well, he did see it. That's why it's here. I think that's so true. That's what vision does. It paints a preferable future. And we have a vision. We also have a mission statement. Really, that's the living out of our vision statement. And the first two words for our mission statement are win the lost. That's right. So let's say the whole thing together. Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That just touches a pastor's heart to hear people know our vision statement and our mission statement. That just doesn't happen very often, but let's say it together. Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That is the practical working out of reaching the world at the Rock Church, and that's what we're all about. So this morning, what I want to do is look at three keys to setting a course for success, past, present, and future. And before we do that, I just want to share with you, we're going to do something kind of special, because last night was special. I taught this last night at the downtown church. We had a big party, tons of people, but we also had Steele and Josh and Max share, which they're, none of them obviously can come today, but I'm going to do something kind of special. I debated this, but I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the video from last night. Because I would like the whole church, this is a whole church experience, so I want the Saturday night church and the Sunday morning church to experience together, kind of looking back at our past and looking where we're at as our future. And I want you to hear what Steele and Josh and Mac have to say, because Mac talks about his cancer experience a little bit. I didn't want you to miss that. But also, it's kind of fun because I call some different people up on stage, and I'm not going to be able to interrupt the video, I don't think. So I'm going to do that now, because we talk about the past. And I'm just curious, for those of you that are here, because I know some are back serving, like I see Bill Hahn serving back there, but if you were part of the church when we met in my house way back in 1999 when we first moved out here, is there anybody that would say, I was in Bill's house at the service? Well, my wife, thank God for that. And are you the only one that's here in this service? Right over here, yes, Linda and the Hahns, the Squires are probably back serving because I know they were in our house for some of our intro meetings. So give these guys a round of applause, Hahns, Youngs, and Squires. You'll see some people come up on stage in the video. And also, how many of you were here when we met at Alta Canyon? Raise your stand up. If you actually met with us at Alta Canyon years ago, yes, I thought so. Very good. Round of applause. Thank you. You can sit down. You'll see some people come up on stage. So with that, I want to show this because it's long, and that's why we're kind of mixing things up a little bit, but you'll enjoy it. It'll go fast. It's going to pick up right at this point, and you may see me with my little pointer because you won't see that in the video. I'll be saying, like, right here, but you won't see it because you just won't. But I'm going to point for you from my chair over here, all right? So you'll actually see what I'm pointing at. That's why I'm going to do that. You guys, you watch TV, don't you? This is just like what you'll enjoy this. Okay, trust me. All right, we don't do this every weekend, but I think you're going to enjoy this. So with that, I'm just going to let the video play. I'll come up at the end, all right? So let's go ahead and watch this. And we'll be blessed as we do it, I guarantee you. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to lead our time. Lord, I'm humble and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for how you've been faithful to us over the years. Over 11 years, you've been faithful. And for that, we're very, very thankful. Thank you, God, that you have done amazing things in our midst, and we want to give you all the glory right up front. We know that it's for you that we have labored, and it's you that have caused the fruit to come. You're the one that does it all. We acknowledge that. We thank you, God, that you are on world mission. You want to conquer this world with your love through Jesus Christ. And we just want to be your willing servants. We humbly thank you for all you've done. Thank you that we can look back and remember what God has done. And that's our theme for tonight. And look ahead and believe in faith, with eyes of faith, what you're going to do. We commit our night to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got a bunch of things. So, first we'll look at the past. We are encouraged by the past, and so should you. If you've been part of this church for very long, you should be encouraged by what God has done in the past. Some of you are fairly new, and you may not know what God's done in the past, so we're going to help you see that. But first of all, some big picture things. Jesus had one mission, and this is our mission, to seek and save the lost. This is what he's called us to do, because that's what he did. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." That's what he came to do, and we believe that. So I was talking to a brother just the other day, and, well, it was Rob, who just got married on Thursday. And we were just talking, and he said, I was just hugging him and telling him I didn't think I was going to be able to make it to his wedding. Unfortunately, I had some other plans, but he said, you know, I'm so thankful that you came here. He goes, can you believe, I think he said it's been 3 years since I've been saved. And I led him to Christ in Rich's Bagels 3 years ago. We were just meeting, and I just asked him, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? He said, no, I don't. And he was very open, he was just ready. God had him. So I just led him to Christ. We did some Bible studies for a number of months. And he's married now. His whole life is different. He said, thanks for coming. I've heard that hundreds of times over the years. Thanks for coming. Thanks that the church started. Thank you for sharing. And that's what you need to understand, is that when we came here, we had the same goal as Jesus, and we still have the same goal. We want to seek and save the lost. So guys like Rob, another guy I remember in Rich's Bagels, I do a lot of my discipling in Rich's Bagels, it seems like. He said, he looked at me, this was a number of years ago, he said, Bill, why did you, I'm just curious, why did you come here? And I'd led this guy to Christ too. And I said, well, he said, why did you even come here? I looked at him with all sincerity. I said, I came here for you. That's why I came, for you. To seek and save the lost. That's what we're about here. Because Jesus is about seeking and saving the lost. Because our mission will drive what we do. Our vision will drive what we do. If your vision is to become a millionaire by the time you're 40, that will drive what you do. If you're serious about it. If sex is your vision and your mission, it will change what you do. That's all you're about. It'll change what you do. What your mission is will drive your actions. Our vision, our mission here is to seek and save lost people, then build them up and send them out to do the same thing. That's it. It's not that complicated. Again, Andy Stanley said this. He says, we all end up somewhere in life. Some of us get there on purpose. So at the end of my life, I want to go that. I tried to follow the path that God set for me. I don't want to get there and go, man, I really just blew it. I just was kind of being blown by the wind. And you shouldn't either. You should have a vision for your life. What's your purpose? What's your mission on this planet? Do you know what it is? Some people get there by planning on purpose, like Andy Stanley said. General Booth, you've heard this story, some of you. I love this story of the Salvation Army. What a godly man. He stood before the King Edward, the King of England, King Edward VII at Buckingham Palace at an award ceremony in 1904. And they were giving him an award for all his great service to the poor. And the king looked at this godly Christian and the king said, what drives you? What keeps you going? What motivates you? You are such a hard worker and you do so much for the poor. I'm just curious what it is that keeps you going. And I love this quote. General Booth said this. He says, Your Majesty, to the king, some men's passion is for art. Some men's passion is for fame. My passion is for souls. He had the same vision that Jesus did, to seek and save that which is lost. So we can say confidently tonight that God has done, in the past, God has done amazing things at the Rock. And I thought it would be fun just to show some pictures. I think this next picture. Yeah, this picture, some of you were there. This picture is, this slide, I took it off. I'm crazy. I'm like Paige. I save all my old stuff. I have all my stuff saved. This is the actual State of the Church address I gave exactly 10 years ago. This slide right here was, I was just kind of looking through stuff today and I found this. I thought, this is kind of interesting. This is the slide I showed. How many of you were there 10 years ago watching the State of the Church? Yes. Amen. Yeah. Kids, raise your hands. There's a bunch of adult kids now that are, you go, who you weren't there. Oh yeah, you were. You were just this tall though. I didn't recognize you. Okay. This is what I shared. It's kind of fun. Here's what I shared 10 years ago. The Youngs and the McEnroys moved. This is 1999 because we started in October. We had those few months and then we had the whole year of 2000. So I gave really a year and a few months for the highlights. So I gave 1999. We had our informational meeting here. You can't see my thing, but it's a little picture here in the middle. That's Kelsey. And is that Colin with her? No, it's not. But it's Kelsey right there. Little Kelsey helping at the info meeting. Some other people showed up. The Hans and the Shocks and the Beelines moved out. We connected with some Salt Lake folks. We had Sundays Unplugged in my house. We had our grand opening in October. And this was this is the piece, the little one on the left here at the bottom is the piece that we handed out. We went door to door. A lot of these guys were handing those out over 11 years ago. 2000, these were some of the highlights. These are the slides I used 10 years ago, which is kind of fun. Fellowship teams. We had, I think, two fellowship teams, two small groups at this point. We had a parenting outreach with college students that came out to help us, and we did a parenting outreach, a seminar on parenting. Porters moved out. We had our first Just Do It. We had our first Rock camp out. This is a picture of about most of the people that came. There's maybe twice that came to our camp out. And this is how lame we were. The fact that we bought new chairs. I mean, that was a highlight of 2000. And you're sitting on something. We had these chairs for 11 years, some of these chairs. So it tells you something when the highlight is buying new chairs, okay? This was a chart. I was showing charts even back then. This was our attendance chart for that year, 10 years ago. We started at 50 people in the church, counting kids. So we had 31 adults. Started with 31 adults in December, and we went up to 110. So we pretty much doubled, 100%, in that first year. God bless. We have 10 times that number now. We have 11, 12, 1,300 usually on a weekend service in 10 years. God is blessed. So real quick, here's some years in review. I'm not going to show the slideshow, but I'll just show a few of the pictures. 1999, this is Jeff Porter helping me move out of Loveland, Colorado, loading my moving van. Jeff Porter was helping. A bunch of people were helping. There's Edgar, I think, in the back. He's really tired. He's been helping me all day. That was a long day. This is in my driveway before we moved. Here's Stephen and Joseph, and they're saying, why don't you guys stand up real quick? Show them how big you've gotten. Go ahead, stand up. Right over here. Yeah. So these little boys, you sit down. Batman. There's Phil Hahn, and there's Philip, there's Emma, there's Colin right there, and there's Kelsey. Kelsey was one leading worship. That's her right there. So, who is that? Jeannie, who is that? I don't know who that is. Max Holder. Okay, this was our first service, the very first service in our house. It was the McEnroys and the Youngs. We had a Sunday morning service in my house, and Colin and my boys and Kelsey, they're all down in our basement, and Brenna, and me and Jeannie and Mac and my wife met for our first service. And we only did that once, I think, because we said, this is ridiculous. I'm preparing a message. It took all this time. Let's just go to other churches because you never get a chance to do that. We did that. And we grew, though. We had these unplugged services before we started meeting with people. There's Paige right there. There's Isaac Squire. I think that's Linda Sue. And there's Suji. And so there's Kelsey and Mac again. So we met in my house when we started. That was 1999. Our first service in 1999, October, we had 101 people. And that's because we asked a bunch of people from Colorado to come help us out. But that's okay. Here's Suge and Kim Crosswhite. And if you can see, I'm playing drums. Phil Hahn is playing guitar. A lot of times Brenda Porter was playing keyboard. Linda Sue and Jeannie was singing. We all hands on deck. Okay, for a grand opening. God blessed. 2000, this was the entire Colorado team. We moved from Colorado to start this church. This is the entire team that came out from Colorado. Some of those, a couple of the couples have gone and have left and gone to help other churches, but this is who came out. Again, the little kids are Stephen and Joseph. There's Nathan Porter right there, and I think it's Abby. Or is that? No. Sydney right there, that's right. And the Hahn kids, and it's kind of fun to look at. There's Colin. He's playing drums tonight right there. This was the last service. We moved to Alta Canyon, out of my living room to this sports center called Alta Canyon. This is where we met for a couple of years. It was in an aerobics room. And so we had all mirrors lined up. So I counted double. That's why the numbers are so high. So we baptized people in the hot tubs at Alta Canyon Sports Center. And that was fun. That was our last service there. And this was our first real staff meeting with Mac. I got second pastor in 2003. Mac was recognized. At this time, Steele was hanging around because he was hanging around his sister, and Paige and Suge were on staff at that point. It was my wife and Jeannie. And then we found our Sandy building in 2003. It was completely wrecked. As you can see, it had been empty for years. It was trashed completely. We had to fix it up. We got it. We got to meet there. We found this building. Actually, Paige found this building. In 2003, this is what this building looked like. Actually, it would have been right there. There's the wall right there. This wall right here is this wall right back there. We ended up breaking through here. That was fun to get back to that section. Anyway, this is what it looked like when Mac and Paige and I looked inside here, and this is what it turned out to be. That first, everything was switched around, I think. Yeah, stage was over there, pretty sure. And then jump ahead a little bit. Josh and Steele get recognized as our third and fourth pastors. We have four on the team now. 2006, that was a blessing. Provo opened up in September 21st of 2007, the Provo Church, and there's Colin playing drums and Mac preaching. First service, 481 people at the at the grand opening of the Provo Church. So we spread out. Now we have three locations. This was just in 2009. This was our 10-year anniversary. We had a party. Remember that? We had a huge party in the big room, and a lot of people came. We had fun playing old songs like we used to play, and we brought the new bands up. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that came to our in 2009. We're encouraged by the past. Here's just some highlights. Actually, before we do that, is this where we run the video? Yeah, let's go. Tony D'Amico put together a 2010 video, just a look back at 2010. Obviously, you can't get all the events, but just watch this. This is kind of fun. Let's look back at 2010.
Love of my life, deep in my eyes, there you will find what you need. And give me your life, the lust and the lies, the past you're afraid I might see. You've been running away from me.
Amen. Forget all that happened. And when that was just last year, lots of other things. Baptisms. We had over And Salvation had over 91 people that we know by name. That's just what we have recorded. It doesn't count the potential hundreds of more that have gotten saved just on a Saturday night. I talked to lots of people that find out years later, I got saved when you prayed that one night. So 91 names we know got saved, 65 baptisms last year. Of course, we have three churches, five services, 11 to 12, 1,300 people typically. Community influence, you have the Freedom Festival, Just Do It. Down in Provo, service projects, youth groups are always doing service projects, Utah Food Bank, Rescue Mission, etc. Families, marriages, I could tell you stories, new roof, HSLT is high school leadership training, Max Cancer. Mac, would you come up here real quick and just share a little bit about what's happening in Provo? That'd be awesome, yeah.
Amen. Yeah, God rocks. I'm kind of tired of talking about cancer, but I don't have it anymore. So, God is good. You know, my good friend Rory Whitney said that this church planting business is all a bunch of BS. You just need to build slow and build strong. And in Provo, there's a work going on, and it's clearly God's hand. It's clearly God at work. Sometimes, you know what, it's frustrating. But every once in a while, something happens where it's just, God, this is just your thing. And we're here to serve you and do what you show us to do. One quick example I'll give you is a young man came up to me just recently at service. I was worshiping, and he came up to me. And I'm kind of getting this way now. When you come up to see me, you say hi, and I look at you funny. Just say, oh, remember me? I was so-and-so, but that happens a lot. But this young guy came up to me, put his arms around me, and he said, do you remember me? And I looked at him, and yeah, I recognized him, but I couldn't put a name to him. But his name is, we call him Little Wayne. His dad's Big Wayne, but Little Wayne, he came up and he says, yeah, 2 years ago, after church service, we sat down, and you walked me through the gospel. And I prayed that night to ask Jesus into my life. He said, and this is a young man coming out of recovery, coming out of jail. We get a lot of folks coming from wrecked backgrounds into our church. And every once in a while, a little story like this comes along. And Wayne came up to me, and he talked to me. He said, after the service, I want to talk to you because God's got a hold of my heart. My whole life flipped around. I want to tell you about it. And he says, you were a part of that, and you should know that. I said, oh, this is... And I had prayed that morning, God, I need a hug, God. And, oh, boy, did he give me one. So after the service, he told me this young man had gone through Teen Challenge, which is a really cool program in California. And he went through Teen Challenge for 2 years. He got cleaned up, and he's just head over heels in love with the Lord. And he was going to go into seminary school. He said that the Teen Challenge people said, no, we want you to stay here and work for us and be a part of this program. And he said, I don't know how long that's going to be, Mac, but he said, when I finish that out, it would make sense to me that I come and labor with you guys in your church because this is where God's at work. And it's just stories like that. It's like, oh, my goodness. Why do I get up in the morning? That's it. And so there's a work going on. And our little army in Provo is growing one life at a time, one life at a time, next person, one life at a time. And it's just a joy. And there's so many servants, and God's at work. It's a beautiful thing. That's the Provo thing. And I just want to add that Jeannie and I are just so blessed. You know, I love the body of Christ. I love the saints. I love you guys. I love being with you. I love running hard for Jesus with you. You can't hardly comprehend how much that means to me. It's everything to me. But after we went through the cancer in 2010, then and you responded, my brothers and sisters, in love to me and my family. And I can't put that into words. I hope you never experienced that. But we did. And through the affliction, we're aflame. Because we know people are with us. And it's all about the King Jesus. So we're excited going forward. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so leaders, house churches, we got Small groups. Josh, you want to come up and talk about small groups here Saturday night? Kind of look at the past, where we've been, what's going on here. Some exciting things happening Saturday night with house churches, small churches. And Josh will fill you in real quickly here.
Good evening. So just real quick summary, house churches and small groups 2010 was a tremendous year. To me, I think about, it'd be like describing a feast. If I asked 30 people from house church, what was your favorite part of the year for house church? You'd probably get 30 different answers. A few things that jumped out at me in our house churches and small groups. If you don't know, downtown, everybody is in house church or small group. We have about 150 people that come out of this service. They're in three house churches that divide into 12 small groups. And a few things that have blessed me to no end are our house church and small group leaders. That's one of those things that encourages me day to day, that we have this incredible group of men and women that are laying their life down for the Lord and for their people. And that's a good thing in my life, that we have great leaders. We plowed through Timothy. We plowed through the minor prophets, Ruth and Mark. We did three mission trips from our house church this year. We sent a team to Parker, a team to Brighton, Colorado, and a team to Denver, Colorado. So we had almost 90 people from this church service that went on three mission trips last summer, which was amazing. We had almost 90 people. We had over 90 people from our downtown service go to Faith Walkers this year. Tremendous community is happening. It's all mixed demographics. We've got like young single dudes with married couples, with married couples with kids. And so there's all these cool conversations happening with people talking about money and debt and career and marriage and parenting and quiet times, and all that kind of stuff is happening in these house churches and small groups. Our people are growing. The leaders are growing. I mean, I feel like last night I got kind of a snapshot of what's happening in our house churches and small groups, because a new couple just moved here from Colorado. And I asked our house church, hey, if you can help unload these guys at their moving van, it'd be great. We had 20-some people show up on a Friday night. We unloaded the moving van in 23 minutes.
Yeah.
And so there's instant community. There's a heart to serve. And then afterward, people are standing around. People are like, well, we're going over to my house to go eat. People are like, well, let's go out to eat here. There's like community happening. So it's an amazing thing. If you would like to be part of our house churches and small groups, this is the form that's back there. Steele and I, we interrogate you. We just ask you five very personal questions before we'll place you. It's amazing. You should be a part of it. One thing that came to my mind was this year when how do you say her name? Janice. When she was in the car accident, how the small group has rallied and supported her financially and through loving her family and praying with her and helping her. And that there's bad stuff happening. There's sin and garbage and junk we're dealing with. But the community and the discipleship and the accountability and the outreach that's happening in our house churches and small groups is amazing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. This would be fun. I'm going to do this. If you were in my house we're talking about the past still. If you're in my house, come up here real quick. If you did a service in 1999 in my house, come up quickly. You guys don't be shy, because we don't have time for you to be shy. Come up. If you're a kid too, come on up. Sue, yes. And is Kim here, Steele? She's not here tonight. But you guys were all part of the house church experience, the very first house. Give these guys a round of applause. Amen. You see, these two guys right here, you got to understand that we came out and we did outreach. We did surveys in Salt Lake City to try to find people. And we did them on Sunday mornings because we thought we'd find Christians that were skipping out on church. And we did. We found these two. Somebody knocked on their door and handed them a flyer and talked to you guys about the Rock Church. And they thought, well, should we check this? They were skipping church and they decided to come.
There was no good church.
There was no good. Now they haven't missed in 11 years. So God bless you. If you stay here, if you guys were at Alta Canyon, why don't you stand up? If you were at church when we were at Alta Canyon, stand right up where you're at. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Very good. Hallelujah. I thought that'd be fun. You guys can sit down. Thank you for coming up. So that's our past. What's that? The Han children didn't. Where are the Han children at? You stand up right now. Where are you at? Rachel? Philip? They're my nephews and nieces, so I know who they are. There's Philip. Over there. Okay, Rachel, you come up here right now. She's just trying to get away from that. You didn't stand up when I said, say, come here. Come here, right here. He stood up. You were still. They had to force you to stand up.
They were in the basement.
Yeah, they were. They were being, she was watching all the kids. So she's my niece. Thank you for coming up. Okay. The past. Isn't it encouraging to look back at the past? You know, real quick. Psalm 78. I know it, so I'm not going to read it. It says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, you know, like armed with M16s, armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. What? Yeah, on the day of battle, they turned and ran. Why? It says they forgot what God had done in the past. They forgot that God, and then it went through and tells everything that God did through Moses, which a lot of us are reading right now in Genesis. So, that's the past. So we are encouraged by the past. We're amazed by the present. You know, just a week and a half ago, I think it was, my wife and I were on a date at a restaurant in town here, and our waitress took our order. She went away, and then the maitre d', the one that was the head of seating table, she was looking at stuff, and she looked at us, and she kind of walked over to us. I put my menu down because I knew she wanted to say something, and she stood at our table, and she said, I just want to let you know that I go to the Rock. I have for a couple years, and I got saved a couple years ago at the Rock, and I just recently was baptized. My husband was baptized. I want to let you know that my marriage was saved. I got saved when you prayed after a message one time. And I've been baptized. My husband's been baptized. We're in a small group. We're at a house church. I think her name's Angela. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing that. And you know what? That's just like, I had said the same thing, Mac. God, I need just some encouragement today. And that was such an encouragement. And that's in the present. That's happening. And many of you hear stories like that all the time. God is at work in lives of people through this ministry. Mark 8:35 says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. If you want to save your life, you'll lose it. You'll give it up for something greater. But if you lose your life for me and for the gospel, you will save it. God wants us to give it up for him. Jesus calls us to be witness. You know this. Acts 1:8 says that. You can read that verse. I like this quote. A non-witnessing Christian is a contradiction. We should be witnessing, simply telling people what's happening in our lives. Tell our story. Just open our mouth. Just talk, love people. Talk to them. Our real job is the gospel. And I like this story about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, the famed American evangelist, was so successful that his counterparts in England came over. A bunch of pastors came over to visit with him to kind of watch him and witness him and try to figure out why he's so successful in winning souls. And they're in a hotel, and D.L. Moody was talking to these gentlemen, and they said, D.L. Moody, what's the secret of your success? How do you win people? And D.L. looked at his friends and stood up and looked out the window of his hotel, and out the window there was a park. And D.L. Moody said, gentlemen, come tell me what you see out this window. And these pastors came, they looked, they said, well, we see a bench, and we see a pond, and we see, you know, some geese flying over some trees. And they said, what do you see, Mr. Moody? And he was crying, tears. And this is what he said. He said, I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find a Savior. Why was he successful? Being a soul winner? Because souls were on his heart. In the present, I see that in our church. I see souls are on people's hearts. And that blesses me when I see that. You know, God's doing amazing things just this week. Again, we're in the present. Just this week in Sandy, there's a woman's mother who went to the hospital, Sandy Lister's mother went to the hospital, and she's visited a couple times. She belongs to a different religion, and yet she had heart problems. And I visited her in the morning, or I guess it was the afternoon, and prayed with her. And then her small group leader, Andy Petrie, came later and visited with her. And he, in tears, said, hey, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? Because she was scared. She almost died that day. She was scared. He said, I just want you to know for sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven. And she said, I want to know. So we shared the gospel, and with her oxygen mask on, she prayed to receive Christ. They're both in tears. That was in the present. God's doing amazing things. I mean, the outreach class, that's happening in the present. You ought to get trained on how to share the gospel. so you can be a testimony. You can give your testimony. Small groups are starting in Sandy this week, and you need to be in a small group here. That shouldn't be optional. You guys need to be in a small group in this church without question. God is doing amazing things. The Roots campaign, just to fill you in on this real quick, because we don't get many chances to talk about it. 2 years ago, we initiated a capital campaign. Really, it's a stewardship faith-raising campaign is what it is. We want to make an impact in the city way more than we are. Again, we have a godly discontentment. And in Sandy, where the church where we started, we're in a building, as you saw, it's somewhat broken down, and we're on a month-to-month, and we have been for 7 years. So they could kick us out with a 30-day notice. And it's the biggest church that we have right now. There's lots of people, and we know that we can have an impact if we can keep that church going, and we can even expand that church. So we believe that we can grow deep for further reach. We started a campaign so that we could get a place of our own, because we get kicked out of that building, that would be bad news. I mean, God would take care of it. But we know that we can have more impact if we could have our own facility in Sandy. We believe that. We believe it would give us legitimacy and stability and opportunity. And our vision is to have 20 services in the valley. 20 services. We have 5 right now, but 20 by the year 2020. It's going to take leaders. It's going to take a lot of things. But one thing we believe it's going to take is a place of our own in Sandy, where all of us can use it, a place where we can reach out to community and have legitimacy, stability, and opportunity. And we believe that's true. So 2 years ago, we started a 3-year campaign. We're 2 years into our campaign, this Roots campaign. We're not going to have time to show that video, but I just want to help you understand a little bit about what this is all about here. This is kind of the vision for our building right now. We are purchasing a piece of property right now just over the border into Draper. So this is 114th South. Sandy's up here. This is 114th South. Just over the border. This is a piece of property right behind the Harmons on 7th East, if you can see that. Our current facility is just about 2.2 miles away. And this, again, you saw pictures in the right-hand corner in the bottom here. This is kind of had a celebration service out on the land. So we are paying on that land. Land is pretty expensive in this area. To find a piece of property that's wide open like that in Draper is amazing. And on 7th East, which is being redone right now to be the historic district. 7th East from 114th all the way to 126th is going to be the historic Draper. So this is all going to be duded up. There's going to be a track station right here. It's a fantastic location. So we're paying on this right now. So people pledged money 2 years ago, and you are welcome to jump in and help us meet our goal, because we're going to need help, because it falls off just a little bit, as I'll show you. But here's kind of the first floor. This is the first floor conceptual drawing of what our building could look like. There's a second floor over this section here. So we'll have 3 times the space that we currently have in Sandy. If you've been to our Sandy building, this is 3 times as big. And it will bless a lot of people. And that's kind of what we're shooting for. Right now, we're just trying to buy the land. You got to have land before you can put a building. We'll figure out the building when we get there. So let's see. Yeah. So anyway, I want to show you this. So we pledged 2 years ago, this little church that started in my living room pledged $1.5 million for this project 2 years ago. And people have been paying on that. I've been paying that. And a lot of us have been giving toward this, above and beyond our tithes. We've been given to this. And so we do have kind of an exciting announcement tonight. We have reached a milestone on our Roots campaign, meaning the amount of money people have given. And I'm going to let you focus in on this, Scrib, if you would. And we'll just kind of have, if Colin was up here, we'd have a drum roll. Maybe beat your legs. Like, do a drum roll for me here. Ready? Here's the big announcement for tonight. We have reached the $1 million mark. Yeah. And you know that, I know that may not be a lot to Austin Powers, but you know that is a lot to us, okay? $1 million, you know, from this little church that started 11 years ago. And we're on our way to 1.5. The land is going to cost 1.4. So you go, how are we going to get building? Well, God's got that figured out. I don't know. We're going to get it, but you got to have land before you can have a building. But God's going to do this. And I just want to say thank you. Because really, stewardship is about eternity. It's not about money. It's about eternity. Eternity is going to be different, I believe. We get a building, we're able to expand and have more and more impact. We get our roots down deep. I really believe will have even more impact, will be even more amazed. And you guys who've been given to this, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, I've been given too. We've all been sacrificing to see this happen. But this is amazing that 2 years into it, we've hit the $1 million mark. And so we got a little bit more to go here. Let's be faithful with it. Let's continue on. Let's see what God can do, okay? So that's where we are at the Roots thing. Just one little fun thing. I can't believe how many minutes it's already taken. One little fun thing I think I'll share with you is that we are trying to figure out how to raise money now for a building. We're thinking of that, and we've got different creative ideas, and we're going trying to do different grants or find rich people that have money would like to help us. And, you know, because we just don't have a ton of rich people in our church, and people have money. Seriously, people have money they want to give. I think we got a good thing going here. I don't think this is blowing smoke. I think I can say honestly, man, this is worth someone investing in. So we've been going out looking for that. We've even hired people to help us, hired people that know rich people, and they're taking us around. And because we want to do that. But one cool story is that we have met up with probably one of the top architects in the country, if not the world. He designs most of the LDS temples. He designed the library, the new library downtown. He's a good guy. We've got to meet him, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this. Last time we met, we were introduced to him, and he agreed. This is the way he said it. We were just approaching him to see if he'd help us out with drawings, if nothing else, maybe give us drawings are not cheap. And he looked across the table from us and said, you know, last year my company, which is a huge architecture company, we were talking with the president of the company, and he said, you know, we helped the Road Home last year, build the Road Home, that's a service organization. It's a huge 6 acres, 350-room building. They helped them with that significantly. And he said, well, I'm going to talk to my board, and the Rock Church is going to be our project this year, is what he told us. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I'm hoping it means, you know, a whole bunch of that, but I don't know. But that's what he told us. We're meeting Monday again with him and his design team. They're going to for sure give us drawings and renderings, and they're also really good at helping find people to help you build the building. So let's move on because we got a lot. Well, we don't have a ton. This one, I just want to kind of share with you what's happening in the future. We're excited about the future. Jesus, you know, had one command. You can read that. That's a very familiar verse to us, Matthew 28:19-20. One command. What is it? Reach the world. That's what God's called us to do. And God will do amazing things at the Rock Church. We can just go over some of these things real quick. Coming up, this is where we're headed now. You've seen where we've been and where we're at. This is where we're heading. We've got a Revive, our GCLI weekend coming up, March 11th and 12th. You are all welcome to that. I would love to see more and more people come to that weekend. It's a Friday night. We're going to gather for prayer and worship. And don't discount that. That's huge. Part of what God's doing here in our midst is prayer and worship Friday night. And then Mark Darling from Minneapolis is going to come in. We're going to have him teach. Maybe even John Hoppler. I found out John Hoppler, who's our national, kind of leads the whole movement of the Great Commission churches. He's going to be in town for the National Association of Evangelicals meeting. I'm going to ask him if he'll come and teach that morning as well. So mark your calendar, March 11th and 12th. Women's Conference, all church, all women. Women's Conference, March 19th, just one day, Saturday. Don't miss that. Marriage Retreat, you're married. April 15th, 16th, we're going to get a killer price on that. It's going to be really nice. We're flying in Pat Sokol and his wife to speak there. New live album. Is that out, Steele? Do we know about that? Did I just blow something? Come up here, brother, and you tell us about this. Amen.
Hi, guys. A little sleep deprived. My wife had a baby a little while ago. The beautiful baby daughter. Her name is Liv Abigail Crosswhite. And man, she looks like her mom, which means she's going to be a beauty. So excited about it. Hey, I'll share just a little bit about the rock music, too, yeah, if that's okay. You know, most of us realize that music has a power to it, doesn't it? Would you agree? You know, we watched that slideshow, and I think if we were just to watch the slideshow moments ago without the music, it'd be impactful. But when you add that a melody behind it, it just something with music gets a hold of your heart. And both we as believers know that, and of course the world knows that. And I would venture to say, and I can't give honest statistics about this, but that 8 out of 10 of the bands in the world are fighting for one thing, and that's themselves. Okay. And when I think about the rock music and all that God is doing here at our church and in our churches through his Holy Spirit in our musicians, I know that most of you guys know this, but we have a culture of musicians inside the rock that has said, you know what? I've seen what the world has to offer. I've seen what people are fighting for. I've seen the glory that they're after, and I want none of it. And I want to stand in this church. I want to beat a drum at the gates of hell for Jesus Christ to win the lost, to glorify God, and to bless you guys. And this morning, I was going through my email list, and I counted 85 people that are committed right now in our three churches to the rock music. Some of them are in bands right now, and some of them are waiting. And when I sit back and I go, my goodness, what God has done in just a short amount of time to have 85 artistic, creative people who can sing and play and drum and jam and then say, you know what? I'm going to turn my back on the world. I'm going to come to a local church, and I'm going to love God, bless the saints, and win the lost. It is overwhelming to me and should be overwhelming to you. Because the men and women that lead you in worship weekend after weekend after weekend are committed to Jesus, to the church, and to having such a musical excellence, at least aspiring to such an excellence that the lost come into these doors and go, what is this band all about? We're about Jesus. Jesus. So that being said, I wanted to read just one thing. I got all these kinds of good things I want to talk about. But this is cool. This is from one of the musicians that leads you regularly into worship. He says this, and I should just give you this background real quick. He left a semi, if not fairly famous band to come play music here at The Rock. And he said this, hey, Steele, I wanted to encourage you about what God is doing through the rock music. The other day I was working at the Radisson. He now works at a hotel. And he said, this band was staying at the hotel. It says, they all look so cool with their rock and roll leather jackets and their old broken down shoes. You see my buddy, he likes that kind of dude. So do I, by the way. Anyway, he said, he saw this band, they all looked so cool. He said, I remember looking at one of the guys as they loaded into the taxi. It appeared that the only problem in his life was how he was going to cram himself and his backpack into one seat. I remember feeling a bit envious, and honestly, I missed that lifestyle for a minute. You see, this guy, he left a big band to come play here at the church. He said, I was wondering why I was still here in Utah. The answers came to me immediately. My beautiful wife, my amazing little boy, my church, and the rock music. He said, two thoughts stuck out to me when it came to music, and I wanted to share them with you, so I'm going to share it with you guys. He said, I was working at the Radisson with an LDS woman named Sheila. She loves our band and has been asking all about how we can play that kind of music at church. I brought in my Bible, and I read on my breaks and my downtime. Said she picked it up and flipped through it and asked me a few questions about the translations. After about 45 minutes of telling her the history of the English Bible, I asked her how sure she was, if she were to die tonight, that she would go to heaven. She said, not too sure at all. I started telling her about God's love and grace, and she kind of shut down. When it was time for her to do a shuttle run to the airport, she said she needed a song in her heart, so I ran out to my car and I grabbed a Rock Church welcome CD. She took the guests to the airports and came back to the hotel. She sat in the van for a while when she got back, and then she came inside. She went straight to the back room, and I could hear her talking to her daughter. She was saying this, we've had it wrong this whole time. We've been missing God's grace this whole time. And there's this band that plays there that does their own rendition of Amazing Grace, and it's amazing. She was talking to her daughter. When she got off the phone, I asked her again how sure she was that if she were to die tonight, she would go to heaven. She was thinking that she had hope, and I told her she could become a Christian right now and be 100% sure, and she told me to get into the room and close the door right now. Says, I led her in a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She recently stopped all affiliation with the LDS Church and is getting ridiculed heavily by friends and family for telling them that she's a born-again Christian and telling them about the grace of God. A few months back, we were playing second story, and then I'll be done. A few months back, we were playing in Provo, and a kid came in. His name was Taylor during sound check. He didn't look at all familiar, but he looked like the kind of kid who knew some of my friends. He sat through the whole sound check and stood through worship. After we got done playing before the sermon, I went out to get a glass of water and seek this kid out. I found him and introduced myself. He knew me from some of my old friends and was a fan of some of my old bands. I asked him if he knew Jesus, and he gave me all sorts of roundabout answers and asked me a few questions. I asked him to have a seat with me, and he did. I shared the gospel with him and told him about how Jesus has changed my life. This brother here is going to mention some other guys in our rock music. He said how he's changed my life, Jesse's life, and Brian's life. He said he could tell that we are different than all of our old friends, and I asked him if he wanted to become a Christian and spend eternity with his Maker, and he said he wanted to clean himself up a bit and learn a little bit more about it. I shared the gospel with him again and then asked him why not. He couldn't answer. He said, I want to become a Christian. I just don't know how. I led him in prayer to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. His name is Matt, and he's madly in love with Jesus now. He goes to Bible studies and church at the Provo Rock. and he's led some of our old friends to Christ and has got them connected to the downtown rock. That amazes me, because that's what the music is about. Not about fame or glory, but about Jesus Christ blessing the saints, winning the lost. The live album. Guys, we are doing something that I am terrified to do. Okay, I'm really good in studios. Humbly, I'm pretty good in studios, okay? So I know how to make a record. I've never made a live album. Here's something that I want to do, and I'm not trying to take up so much time. I'm going to go as fast as I can. But I feel like sometimes with the rock music, we sway to a couple of different places. It's like, you know, we can really, really, really be over here on this side and kind of quiet, and churches can be too quiet and those kinds of things, or like super duper duper loud and people can get distracted. And what I want to do is I feel like we can really be good winning the lost, winning the lost, winning the lost, which is what my heartbeat is. But I want to do something special for the church. I want to strip down all of the electrics, and I want to do something on May 21st that's an acoustic live album, okay, where these musicians are going to come. And you know what? I like to play electric. I'm better on electric. I'm sucktastic on an acoustic, okay? But I want to strip it all down, and I want to just do an evening, now hear my heart, an evening of worship. It's not about the bands. It's not about selling a record. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about all of our churches coming together to this room on May 21st and being prepared to worship Jesus, where all the sound and the distractions that could be there are gone. You have men and women up here with acoustic guitars, softer drums, and shakers saying, "Saints, it's for you. We just want to lead you into worship." And that night, by the way, we're going to record it, and we're going to turn it into an album. Okay, it's a live album. We don't know what it's called yet, but so far we know it's live. Here's what I want you to anticipate. Not a great record. I don't care about records. I want you to anticipate an amazing night of worship. And I want you to be praying about it now. Because if it's going to have power, God has to show up. It's not about the songs. It's about the Holy Spirit leading us into worship through these musicians. May 21st, it's coming. So, anyhow, that's my thing. I'll be done.
There you go.
Okay, back to the slide real quick. We'll finish up here with kind of what's happening in the future. We got our live album, our all-church campout coming up, Blackhawk, same place as last year. Our desire, our plan, our hope, God just continues on the way he's continuing, would be to hire Josh full-time in the next 5 months or so. Yeah. So, amen. Volunteer picnic sometime in the summer. We haven't planned that one yet. HSLT, we're going to bring the high school leadership training to Utah this year, which is kind of exciting. We're bringing the Colorado. Our regional high schoolers will come here. We'll meet at the University of Utah Freedom Festival down in Provo again this year. Just do it this summer, possibly. E11 Honduras mission trips coming up in the fall, late spring, fall, community outreach. Possibly Nick Vucic might come back. We're hearing he wants to come back to Utah, so he's kind of asking us if he could come back and do something in Utah. Yeah, amen. And that's huge because I found out that Greg Johnson was at a meeting with him. My friend Greg Johnson was at a meeting last week with him. He's on his board, and Nick Vucic got a call. And actually his assistant came up and said, "Nick, if you know Nick, he's got no arms, no legs," and he came and he shares the gospel. He's an extremely powerful witness. And we had him in town, I think a couple years ago. Anyway, the guy said, the Pope just called, or his assistants just called, and they want you to speak for 20,000 Catholics in Rome. And Nick said, "I don't know if I can do it." I mean, he spoke 48 out of 52 weekends last year. That's a lot of travel. He's literally, his body's literally shutting down. So, but he wants to come to Utah, which is amazing. Who wants to come to Utah? You know, he does. So, Faith Walkers, of course, next year. Let's continue here. Oh, this is a great quote. C.T. Studd said, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." That us, that's our heart, I think. We want to do that here at the church. So, remember, stewardship is about eternity, not expenses. So, how do we stay on course? Here's three things. Live our vision and mission. Be good stewards of your personal finances. All this takes money, men and women. We're not ashamed to say that. It all takes money. So if you're not giving, I challenge you this year, why not make a commitment to be a giver, not just an attender? That could be a goal you have. If you're giving, why not continue to give and maybe even increase that? It all takes money. Hiring Josh, the reason we haven't hired him the last couple of years when we liked to is we didn't have the money. We barely have the money. We're just squeaking. It's going to be tight to be able to hire him. We want to hire him, and we're planning on it. So why not make a commitment to give this year? It all takes money. And you guys have been so faithful, as I mentioned. Last thing, be joyful, pray, be thankful, and apply faith. So won't you join us? That's my last thought. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Where we've been, that's where we're at, and that's where we're heading. Amen? Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you. You've been so good to us. We bless you. We thank you. We pray, God, that you would be glorified in this church from this point forward as you have been in the past. We thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. We bless you and we commit our church to you and for your glory. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.